Taking as our text tonight, Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 14. Exodus 34 and verse number 14. Let's read that verse together, and then we'll bow our hearts and ask for the help of the Lord in our study of His Word tonight. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. We'll end our reading there at verse 14, and let's now seek His face in prayer, each of us calling upon His name. Our gracious Father, we come to Thee this night asking for the help and power of Thy Spirit to be manifested here in the midst of Thy people. We're thankful already for Your help in the place of worship. You have enabled us to sing to Thee, to give to Thee, and to pray unto Thee. Lord, now as we come to look into Thy Word, we would ask that You would be pleased to speak to our hearts through this book. Lord, we need to hear Thy voice. We come to Thee asking that You would be one in the midst of Thy people, and You would help us, even as we would seek to lift high the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, come, and by Thy Spirit fill preacher and listener alike, and may we know what it is to hear Thy voice, even as we would seek to worship Thee in the study of Thy Word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text proclaims that God is a jealous God. This characteristic of God is repeated both in the Old and New Testaments. Perhaps we could classify it under the attribute of love, because it is the logical outworking of true love. If God is a God of love, then it follows that He will be jealous for His people. If God deals with His people on the basis of a covenant, such as a marriage covenant, then it follows that God will be jealous for His covenant. Yet at the same time, we can say that this attribute or characteristic of God is also a working out of His holiness. When the covenant has been broken, when the Lord has been replaced, because He is a holy God, He comes with vengeance and judgment upon those who have broken the covenant. And so we have coming together the attribute of God's love with the attribute of God's holiness, and it is seen in God showing Himself to be jealous for His people. Now, in the Old Testament, God made provision for a man who was jealous over his wife's faithfulness. There was a ritual they could do at the tabernacle, later at the temple, and the Lord would reveal whether or not the wife had been faithful or whether she had been unfaithful to her husband. God did not rebuke the husband for being jealous. He allowed that to be a proper motive in the husband's heart, but it had to be searched out and be proven. It couldn't be just jealousy on suspicion. Jealousy, then, was a proper attitude for the Old Testament saint at times, and obviously it was a proper attitude in God Himself. When we come then to our study tonight, we have an attribute, a characteristic of our God that in some sense ought to be seen in the midst of His people. And tonight I want us to consider then that we would study the jealousy of our God. Now, when we say that God is jealous, we have to be very careful, because in our day and age, when we use the word jealous or jealousy, it's an evil characteristic of a person. When you actually look at the Hebrew word for jealous or the New Testament word for jealous, it can have that meaning. It can have the same meaning we have today. In fact, we were looking in the book of Acts this morning, and we were looking at those who had hearts full of envy. And the word for envy there is actually the Greek word for jealousy. They were jealous over the success of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. They were jealous because great crowds were following after the preaching of the gospel. And as they saw those great crowds and saw their own place being replaced, as it were, by these gospel preachers, they had their hearts full of envy and jealousy, and God was angry. They were angry with God's servants. Now, this word for jealousy then can have that evil connotation. It is translated sometimes jealous or jealousy. It is translated at times envy. And it is something to be shunned by God's people. But there's also the positive meaning for this word for jealousy. And we have that before us in our text tonight in Exodus 34. As this word is used in a positive sense, both in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, and in the New Testament, in the Greek word, it can mean an intense loyalty. An intense loyalty or jealousy over one in whom we have placed ourselves as a covenant, as binding ourselves to that individual. In that regard, it can refer to a wife to her husband or a husband to his wife. And obviously, it's the idea that's before us in our text. But the word can also be translated zeal or zealous. We have that over and over again when you have Phinehas striking through those that were breaking God's covenant. It was said that he was full of zeal or he was zealous. In the New Testament, this word is used for the actions of our Lord in the temple. And we'll say more about that in a few minutes. And so it can be that intense loyalty that we think of as one being jealous over the covenant he has made with someone else and not being replaced. He is jealous over that, and that is a good thing. And it's also used for the actions that flow from a heart that is rightly jealous. That is the actions that are zealous, a zeal that flows from it. How do you know whether it's dealing with jealousy or whether it's dealing with zeal? You only know it by the context. And as you look at the context, is it inward? Is it the heart's desire? Or is it more outward, the zealous actions that are being done by the individual showing that he indeed is jealous or zealous for the one that he is in love with? Now, when we come to the Old Testament, it's very clear that our God is a jealous God. We have that here stated. It's also stated in Exodus 20 for the first time. This word is used of the Lord. In Exodus 20, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. And then the second commandment, God says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them," that is to idols, "nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Would you note that he views those who commit idolatry as hating him? It's not merely that they're committing this idolatry and are neutral toward him. He says that they hate me. Now, this is repeated again in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 9, where again the Ten Commandments are gone over. And when we come to this second commandment, he says that he is a jealous God. Would you know that's the first argument as to why we should not have idols? The first argument isn't the punishment that he's going to give to us. The first argument is the fact that God says, "I am a jealous God." God will not be replaced. He takes very seriously the relationship he has with his people and the fact that he is first in that relationship. He will not allow us to replace him. So when we come to Exodus 34, our text, as we read down there, he warns the people about making covenants with the ungodly in the nation, because by making those covenants, they will then enter in to worship the gods of the people. And God says, "Thou shalt not worship any other god, because my name is jealous, and I am a jealous God." I'm paraphrasing verse 14. He said this is the right reason why. And so he gives these warnings as to why there's not to be intermarriage between the children with those of the nations. No covenant was to be made of those in the nations. No worship was to be joined with those in the nation. Because in doing so, their hearts would be turned away from the true and living God. So God was jealous for his being. And he warned those whose hearts were fickle. He asked to what would move their hearts away from him and would move their hearts into idolatry. When we think of idolatry, we must not just limit ourselves tonight to an idol that is made with hands. Anything that controls your life has become your idol. It can be another person. It can be an object such as a house or a car or something of wealth. Your money can be your idol. Covetousness is called idolatry. Whatever is controlling the heart has taken the place of the Lord. It is the Lord and the Lord alone that wants supreme worship and love from our hearts. He does not command that we love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to mock us. He doesn't command that because He thinks that's something nice and you ought to strive for it. That is our proper role. And when we're not loving Him with all of our being, then we're not properly acting toward Him as we should. He is jealous then over His name. He is jealous over His person. And He's jealous over this relationship that He has with His people. We find that the Scripture very clearly says that He's jealous for His name. Now, when you think of the name of God, it represents who He is, and it is itself a revelation about what God is like. And so in Ezekiel 39 and verse 25, it says, "Therefore saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name." Now, we know in the Ten Commandments, He takes very seriously those who blaspheme His name, those who take His name in vain. He's jealous over His name. Now, His name is more than just something you call the Lord. His name is part of His revelation to His people. And if He is jealous, therefore, over His name because it reveals what He is like, then you can see why He would be jealous even over His word, because that is a greater revelation about what He is like. He has exalted His name above, His word above His name. And therefore, we are to take very seriously any breach as concerning His name, whether it be here in what He is called in Scripture or in any revelation that He has made of Himself, whether it be the Scriptures itself or even the sacraments that show us what He is like. We are to honor His name. We are to honor His revelation. We are to honor what He has said about Himself. He is very jealous for His holy name. He is jealous for the covenant relationship He has made with His people. Oftentimes that relationship is pictured as a husband with a wife. Jehovah with His people. Our Lord Jesus Christ with His people. And as a man could be jealous over what his wife was doing, that jealousy sometimes would consume him and would make him very angry, would bring vengeance upon his wife and upon the man who broke the covenant. You see that delineated there in the book of Proverbs. As a man could do that, the Lord Himself would do that. But the Lord is also very jealous in the sense that He has promised things to His people. And because He loves His people and they're the apple of His eye, and they are the very delight of His heart, He's jealous over His people in the sense that He is going to bless them. That's what we read in Exodus 39. He said He's going to have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. He's going to do them good. He's going to bless them. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 18, we have a similar statement. Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. It's not just the dirt of the land when it says He's going to be jealous for His land. It's speaking about His people, His country, those that own His name. His name is at stake. He is the God who will not be replaced. He is a God who's jealous over His name. He has called that name over His people. So what happens to His people reflects on His name. He will be jealous for the welfare of His people. In that regard, He's jealous for the city that was leading His people, Jerusalem. In a number of places, it talks about His jealousy for the city. In Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." He was jealous. And at times, because there was the breaking of the covenant, other gods had come into the nation, He was jealous with her with a great fury. Because she had broken His covenant and turned her back upon Him. But He had great things planned for Jerusalem. And when Zechariah was writing, there was the rebuilding of this relationship. There was the bringing in of a people to Jerusalem. There was the raising of the temple. There was the reestablishment of this relationship between the Lord and His people. And Zechariah chapter 1 says that the angel that communed with Zechariah said unto him, "Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." He was going to work on her behalf. He was going to do great things in the nation again. God holds you in high esteem tonight. He views you with this everlasting love. And He does not want to be replaced in our lives by anything. He's jealous over that. And whatever comes in to replace Him, He will take up war against. It's not wise then to let a person, as it were, replace the Lord. Because the Lord will not tolerate that. He is jealous over the place that He has in our lives. And if we continue on putting something in His place, then what He will do is in His holiness rise up and smite that in order that that idol be removed, that He might be supremely worshipped and honored by His people. We have this love and holiness coming together when He did indeed punish Israel. It was something He warned the people about. We have that warning really before us here in Exodus 34. This is more than just telling us what God is like. He's telling us what He is like in order that we not violate His covenant, in order that we not go against the terms that He has put out for His people. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 15, you have this declaration, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." The Lord is jealous for Himself being the supreme one in any relationship. He's jealous over His name. And if we violate that, if we, as it were, discard the Lord and put in His place someone else, He will show His jealousy. According to this passage, His wrath will be kindled against us. Joshua was then made leader after Moses was gone. And he reiterated to the people the same thing that Moses said here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In chapter 24 of his book, 24 and verse 19, Joshua said to the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy, He is a jealous God." Now, what they had showed at that time is this fickleness where they were often turning from the Lord and turning to idols. And he would say, "You can't serve the Lord in that fashion. The Lord is not that kind of a God. He is a jealous God. He wants to, as it were, be supreme in your life and to glorify Himself through you." Nahum, in writing the judgment that would come upon the Assyrians, you realize that God spared Nineveh, the capital of the nation of the Assyrians. He spared them, but now, almost 100 years later, He's going to judge them. And in doing so, Nahum prophesies that God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth, and the Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. Now, the Assyrians were those who came and captured the 10 northern tribe and brought destruction to the nation of Israel. And while in one sense they were the instrument God used, in the other sense, they were doing it out of pure delight. They were attacking Israel and attacking the God whose name was called over Israel. They thought they were defeating the God of Israel. And God came and through this prophet and said, "He's jealous. He's jealous over that name, and He will bring vengeance upon those who attacked His people, who brought His name into reproach." He is a jealous God. So when we come to the Old Testament, we see that this was a theme that ran through the Old Testament. That God was jealous for His position among the people, jealous over His name, jealous concerning the relationship He had in His nation. And He would punish, because of His jealousy, those who came and made a breach in the covenant. Well, when we come to the New Testament, that is also true. And we see that jealousy in the heart and soul of the Savior. Now, we know that the work of Christ, when it was carried out in the earth, was a work in which Jehovah was fighting on behalf of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a prophecy given in Isaiah concerning the fact that Jehovah would indeed make him a great, glorious king. You're familiar with Isaiah 9 and verse 6, where it gives us the names of the coming king, that he would be called the Prince of Peace, that he would be the Mighty God, that he would be the Everlasting Father, that his name would be called Wonderful, the Counselor. After saying those names, in the next verse it says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And then it concludes this way, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Same word, jealousy. God is jealous for his name. He's jealous for the promise that he's given to his people concerning the Messiah who is going to come. And because he's jealous, he's going to be very zealous. He's going to make the Messiah exalted. He will have this glorious kingdom, this kingdom with no end. And so when you come to the New Testament, what you're seeing is Jehovah on behalf of the God-man, his Son, acting and performing that which he has promised. But when we see our Lord himself on the earth, he was very jealous or zealous for the work of the Lord. And we see that in everything that he did. In Isaiah, again, chapter 59 and verse 17, you have the prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord. And it says that he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. The word zeal is our word. He was clad with jealousy as a cloak. It was something you could see. Everyone who looked at him saw this jealousy and this zeal for God and for his kingdom. Every step that he took, every speech that he gave, every sermon that he preached was done out of jealousy for God and for his kingdom. It was done out of zeal for the work of God. When we come to the New Testament, the beginning of his ministry, one of the first things he did was he went to Jerusalem and he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. He saw what was there, and when he saw it as violating what God had put in, he saw it as an affront to the relationship between God and his people. And we read there in John chapter 2 that his disciples remembered when he had cleansed the temple, they remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. It's our word again in the New Testament. It's quoting from Psalm 69 and verse 9. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The jealousy I have for your house, the zeal I have for your worship, it has eaten me up. He was jealous over the house. It was to be a house of prayer where the Lord was reigning supreme, where the Lord would be the chief objects of the people's delight. And that had stopped. They had made it a house of merchandise. And so we find in jealousy for God's honor, in jealousy for what the house was, the Lord acts on that behalf of the house, as it were, and he cleanses the temple. He puts it back right in order that the people might worship right. He was jealous over the pictures of the gospel. There at the temple, you had pictures of the gospel. Those pictures are being overshadowed by the money changers. And what people thought of when they went to the temple and what they thought of when they left the temple were the money changers. They should have been thinking of the blood atonement. They should have been thinking of the labor and the cleansing and that which went inside. But what they were thinking about was the money changers. The Lord went in because of his jealousy over his house. He went in and cleansed the house and cleansed, as it were, the pictures. He put right that which God had ordered. If our Lord was here today, what would he do in many a house tonight? Many a house of God needs to be cleansed because the object of worship is not the Lord himself. The pictures of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, the explanation of the gospel has been removed. What about our individual lives? We are the temple. You're the temple. It is the Lord tonight who is in love with us, who died for us because of His love for us. Is He pleased, or is His jealousy being provoked? Will there be zealous actions by the Lord against us because we have replaced Him and His gospel? The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that great zeal, that great jealousy. It was like a cloak that went around Him. Anybody who looked at His life could see that He was motivated first and foremost for God's glory in all that He said and did. Well, believers are to be jealous as well in this fashion. We're not to be jealous in the relationship of sin, where jealousy is envy, where you're looking at someone else and you see what they have and you envy them and you're jealous because of that. We saw that that was condemned in the book of the Acts today when the people in the synagogue were jealous over the success of Paul and Barnabas. We can be jealous for many reasons. Someone gets more praise than we get, and we get jealous. Someone has more wealth than we have, and we become jealous. It's become a pastime in the country to stir up the people to be jealous over those who have succeeded in business until the people are willing to come and plunder them and take away what they have earned. Jealousy has become a part of the everyday life and fabric of our country. That kind of jealousy is not to be found in my heart nor yours. We're to be content with the things that God has given us. We're to earn our keep. We're to feed our families. We're to go forward with the gospel. But we're not to be jealous of others who may be praised more. Not to be jealous of others who may prosper more. We're not to be jealous of others who may enjoy better health. We are to be zealous for the kingdom and have our eyes upon the King. But we are to be jealous for the Lord and the relationship that we have with Him. We have in the Old Testament the prophet Elijah saying this when he came before the Lord at Mount Horeb. He said on two occasions that he had been very jealous for the Lord God of the host. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10, as he's speaking to the Lord, he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." 4 verses later, he says again, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He says, "I've been jealous for the Lord of hosts." Well, how were you jealous? I was jealous for the Lord's person. I was jealous for Him. All of what I've been doing, my zeal has flowed from a heart where I have coveted, as it were, His favor and His love and His desire for me. I have esteemed that. I've been very jealous for Him. I've been jealous for the covenant that He has made with His people. They have broken the covenant. They have forsaken the covenant. And yet here was the prophet, and he was glorying in the covenant. He was jealous over that covenant relationship that the Father had made with His people, with Himself. We can be jealous over God's person this day. If somebody came and they used your mother's name in a derogatory word, most of you would be jealous over that, and you would be upset over that, and you would say something to the person. But what about when our Lord is being blasphemed? What about those who are twisting His word and are trying to destroy His person? What about the new covenant? There are those who are destroying the new covenant. Are we jealous over that covenant? Are we defending that covenant? Are we indeed proclaiming that covenant? It said Israel had torn down the altars. The altar was the place of atonement. It was the place of sacrifice. They had torn down the picture of the gospel. And here we have this prophet saying, "I've been very jealous for you because they have forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altar." Obviously, the implication is, I have not done that. I have built your altar. I had that sacrifice on Mount Carmel. I took my stand publicly with you. God demands that we take our stand with the gospel in our day. That we be jealous over that gospel. That we glory in Christ's atonement, not twist it, not replace it, not denigrate it. But that indeed we glory in that gospel. Israel had slain the prophets. That's obviously not the case of Elijah. He hadn't slain the prophets. He had stood with the prophets. Well, we don't have any prophets in the same sense. We have preachers today. But we have the word of God left to us by the prophets. We have the apostles and prophets today with us in the word that they wrote. And are we jealous over this book? Not in the sense that we esteem it, but we never read it. But do we read it? Do we obey it? Do we defend it? In the nation in which we live. This is what was being claimed by Elijah. Yes, they have turned their back on you. Yes, they have forsaken your covenant. Yes, they have torn down your altars. Yes, they have slain your prophets. But I have been jealous for thee. He could say that. Can we say that tonight? That we have been jealous for the Lord's person, for the Lord's covenant, for His gospel, for His word. We are to be jealous, as it were, in that all of these be exalted. Turn, if you would, tonight to 2 Corinthians. Let's see another way in which this word is used by the apostle. And that is, we must be jealous for the church. We must be jealous for the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, when we look at Paul's relationship to the church at Corinth, they were doing things and saying things and even about him that were not right. And you see his jealousy being displayed in what he wrote in his first epistle and now what he's writing in his second epistle. Because he was jealous over them with a godly jealousy, he had to rebuke them for sin. He had to rebuke them for schism. They were dividing themselves. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. He was jealous over them, and so he rebuked them for that schism. And he said, "We weren't crucified for you. One waters and other sows, but it's God who gives the increase. All the glory goes to Him. We should be rallying around God, not around this preacher or that preacher." He dealt with their immaturity. He called them babes. Carnal Christians, carnal babes that were fighting, that always needed to be, as it were, dealt with like a child rather than a mature believer. He dealt with their infightings. They were taking one another to court. And because he was jealous for them, he rebuked that. He dealt with their immorality, great immorality going on in the church. Immorality that even the pagans would have viewed as being wrong. And that's saying something for the city of Corinth. It was full of paganism. He dealt with the perversion of the table. They were coming to the Lord's table and they weren't doing it rightly. They were coming with a very crass attitude, a very irreverent attitude, and he rebuked them for that. He dealt with their pride. You see that in chapter 12. You see it again in chapter 14. And he said the solution to that was love. Love. That's the only thing that smashes the pride of the heart of men. Their pride was a spiritual pride. And that is perhaps the worst kind of pride. I remember Dr. Barrett, who taught for many years at BJU, saying in one of the services at our church in Greenville that the worst kind of pride is spiritual pride. He says, "I see it all the time. People that are proud over the graces." He wasn't talking so much about the faculty. He was talking about the students. Students who think that they have arrived. Students who think that they are now spiritually mature. They haven't done anything for the Lord yet. But they are able to pontificate and judge and condemn other brethren. Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. People who are just starting out acting as if they had been walking with the Lord for 40 years. And he condemns that pride of gifts. They were glorying in the weaker of the gifts, the lesser of the gifts. He condemned it. He dealt with disloyalty to the preacher himself. He dealt with heresy in 1 Corinthians 15. He's dealing with the defense of the resurrection. He's dealing with the defense of the remission of sins. He's dealing with the defense of the return of the sovereign. He's dealing with all of these issues. Why? Because he was jealous over the church. He was jealous. Some of these issues come up again in 2 Corinthians, as Paul writes. And there are some new issues that come up. One of the new issues was the harm that was being done to the church because one had repented of the immorality, but it evidently was not being received back into the number. And Paul deals with them on their lack of mercy. And then he deals again at great length with their apostasy. There were false prophets, false teachers coming into the church who were saying and teaching abominable heresies, taking them away from Christ, being filled with another spirit, having another gospel. It was out of jealousy for the church that had been espoused to Christ that the Apostle Paul dealt with every one of these issues as they raised their head in the church at Corinth. Thankfully, we're not dealing with all of those issues here in Malvern, but we could. We could. Are you jealous for the church of Christ? Are you trying to build or tear down? Are you trying to walk in a manner that's pleasing to Him under the power of the Holy Spirit? Or are we indeed destroying that which God has begun? Paul was jealous over the people of God. And in doing so, he went and he tried to correct all the abuses that were there in the church of Corinth. Well, in our day and age, there are many abuses in the church of Christ throughout our land, and they need to be addressed. Those that are jealous over His honor and His people will indeed speak about those abuses and seek to correct them in a godly manner. Lastly, we can say that we must be jealous for our own families. This spirit of jealousy we mentioned was something that God allowed in the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, If the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. In other words, if the spirit of jealousy came on a man, he was to get an answer to that problem. It wasn't wrong for the jealousy, as it were, to be there if there was a violation of the covenant. If a man has a wife, or if a wife has a husband, they have a right to love that person. They've entered into covenant before God and before man that this is going to be the one who has entered into a marriage bond with me. And I will be jealous over their relationship with me. So here you have this in the Old Testament as something that they were to honor. They would honor the marriage and the families that God had put there with them. The covenant was between God and witnesses. The covenant was with the spouse. And when the covenant is broken, there's obviously a harm done to the spouse, whether it's the wife breaking covenant with the husband or vice versa. It is indeed a breaking of covenant, and there is harm done to the spouse. We're seeing that all through our land. The odd one today in our day is one who makes it through 50 years of marriage and there's no breaking of the covenant. That's the odd one. Doesn't very often happen. 30 years ago, I was in California, and Tom Tice was working at a steel shop there in San Diego. And as he worked in the steel shop, and I was out there trying to help his church and another church that was trying to be started, and I would go and eat lunch with him, and his wife would come and bring the little children. They're all grown now and married, but they were just little tots at the time. And she would bring them to lunch and eat with her husband, and I would join them. I usually went to the library, the theological library there near the area, and then I would make my way down to lunch and join the family for lunch. Well, the steel workers used to come and just kind of stare at them. And I asked Tom, I said, well, what's going on here? He says, well, we didn't know what was going on at the beginning, but finally someone came and spoke to us, and they said, we have never known anybody to stay with the same woman and any man stay with the same woman for more than 5 years. And he said, this is just something we've never seen. We've never seen 5 years where the husband and wife are still happy, where their children are still happy, and you still have a home. We've never seen that. Well, as we look at our country now, isn't that almost becoming the lot? Those who are giving us what we ought to be doing in marriage themselves know nothing about what we're talking about. Oftentimes, in the churches, the apostate churches throughout our land, divorce is rampant. In the pulpit, right on down. Oftentimes, in Hollywood, you can't even point to anyone who is married just once. Almost all of them are married a half a dozen times. It becomes almost a joke. So-and-so gets married. They have a big wedding. I wonder how many weeks it's going to last. This marriage covenant that's made between a husband and wife is to be a lasting covenant. There are times when jealousy will overcome either the husband or the wife. There is a way of taking care of that. It should be taken care of. You shouldn't be just living a life full of jealousy over the violation when there's been no violation. When there's been no violation. When there is the breakup of the marriage, there's a harming of God's testimony. There's a harming of the spouse. And obviously, if there are children, the harming of children. This is the day in which we're living. And it's right for you and I, if we are married to one that we have vowed to be faithful unto, it is right for us to be jealous over them and them to be jealous over us. In other words, there is a godly jealousy, Paul says, that is to be upon your heart and upon my heart. And it's become the norm in this day that anybody who has this godly jealousy are viewed as strange. Why would you have it? And when you come into the church, if you show this godly jealousy even toward God or toward His people or toward your family, it is viewed as something wrong and as something evil. Well, we must pattern our life not after the society in which we live. We must pattern our life after the God who has saved us and brought us out of this wicked and adulterous generation. It is right tonight for our God to be jealous for His name, to be jealous over His position in the church. It is right for Him to be jealous over the relationship He's entered in with His people. And if that be right, then it is right for us to be jealous over our relationship with Him and over the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have. It is right for us to be jealous over them and their relationship to the Lord. And it is right in our families that we have established in this covenant. It is right for us to be jealous over our relationship with them and anything that's going to come in and break that relationship. We're to be jealous over it and shun it and put it away. The jealousy of the world is often sin. And we see it everywhere in our society. It's sin. That must be shunned. But that must be replaced with a consuming desire to see His name uplifted and glorified. A jealousy for His name. And it must be, as it were, shown in our love, intense love for God's people and intense love for our families that He has established. We're living in a day where this type of jealousy is unheard of because the other jealousy has taken over. May God bring us back to this love for Him and this holiness for Him that will produce a godly and right jealousy that will turn into great zeal. Zeal for Him, zeal for the church, zeal for our families. That this jealousy will be seen as a cloak that we are wearing by those round about us. That indeed we are truly zealous for the kingdom of God. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. We must love like our God loves, and so then we must be jealous over the very things that He is jealous over. Our relationship with Him, we're jealous over His people, We're jealous over the families that He has given us. That's a good and right attitude. Don't let anybody take that from you. Are you part of His family? What a great thing to be in the family of God and know that God is jealous over you, that He so loves you that He is going to defend you, that He is going to go to war with anything that breaks the relationship with Himself. He is going to defend your relationship with Him. If you're not in that covenant, the only way to be a part of the covenant is to repent and believe on Christ. Tonight, if you would turn from your sins and come to Him, you can know this great love. He will forgive your sins. Though you have sinned against Him, yet He will cleanse those sins and He will welcome you into His covenants. Come this day and embrace Him as Lord and Savior. Don't shun the fact that He is jealous over His people. Glory in it. He is jealous over you tonight. He has redeemed you out of Egypt. He has brought you to Himself. He has done great wonders on your behalf. He is not going to, for His own name's sake, allow you anything evil to come upon you. He is going to watch over that relationship and bring you safely all the way to glory. He will fight with every beast that comes against His people. He will fight against them. Let that jealousy then for Him be demonstrated. Even this day, may we be like Elijah and say, Lord, I have been jealous for the Lord of hosts. They have broken your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They have slain your prophets. But I have been very jealous for thee. May the Lord make that the testimony of everyone here tonight. If you're outside of the covenant, come and enter the covenant. He will receive you. He will be jealous over you. But if you're in the covenant tonight, glory in it. He glories in it. And glory in those relationships that He has given you among God's people and in your family. They're right relationships. May you show a great love to His people. Our Father in heaven, we know that there are many who would come to break the covenant, that would teach us to break the covenant, would try to take us away from the covenant. Just as Israel was tempted by the nations round about them, so we are tempted by the nation in which we live. There are many isms, there are too many to even count, that would deceive us and allure us and try to bring us away from Thee. Even our own flesh, even those things in the world that would tantalize and encourage the flesh would take your people away from Thee. Lord, in this land that we live, there are many that are following after other gods. And Lord, there is the temptation for us to do the same. Some would call them by Thy name, as they did in Israel. Sometimes they called their gods by the name Jehovah. But we know that Thou wast angry with them. Lord, we pray that You would give us grace to be discerning. Give us grace to follow after Thee with our whole heart. Give us grace not to be tempted to go after the gods of this earth. But Lord, give us grace to be jealous over Thy name and Thy cause and Thy people. Lord, give us jealousy even for our own families, that they not be led astray, that they not be taken in the bypath meadow and be destroyed. Lord, we ask that You would help us with this godly jealousy to indeed be following after Thee. Lord, we pray for any here tonight or any who are watching by way of internet that are yet outside of Christ. Lord, we ask that this day they would come and embrace the love that You have for sinners, that they would come and seek Christ for salvation. That they would know that love that forgives sins, that love that welcomes sinners into the kingdom. Lord, do this gracious work, we pray. Bring them out of darkness. Bring them into the light. Lord, do that gracious work for the glory of Thy name. Do it for the welfare of those who are hearing the gospel this evening. Lord, dismiss us with Thy blessing. Give us grace that we would have that cloak of zeal, that cloak of jealousy for Thee this week. May others see that we are loyal to Thee, that we indeed are intensely desirous of Your glory. And Lord, we pray that we would walk in a manner that pleaseth Thee, whether it please the nation in which we live or not. Lord, give us such grace and be our portion even as we walk. May we see demonstrations of Your love daily. May we know tokens of Your love hour by hour. Lord, come and help us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.